Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs, Georgia, it's time for Sandy Springs Business Radio. Now, here's your host.
This episode of Sandy Springs Business Radio is brought to you by VR Business Sales Atlanta, guiding business owners and buyers through successful transitions with trust and expertise. Visit VRBizWorld.com or call 678-470-8675. Now here's your host, Ramsey DeCloosh.
Hello, hello. And with us today is Kathy Gosser. Kathy and I have known each other for a little bit. Kathy is the Yum Associate Professor of Franchise Management Practice and the Director of the Yum Center for Global Franchise Excellence in the College of the University of Louisville. Kathy, can't wait to talk to you more about what you do. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on. I can't wait to talk a little bit more with you.
So before we start, tell us a little bit more about you and, more important, what have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a long story, but I'll shorten it. I'll give you the condensed version here. So I spent my entire business career at Yum Brands, and I was there 35 years before I retired, and I always call it the career that dreams are made of. I did a number of different things at Yum, predominantly KFC, a lot of it at KFC US. I had one role where I worked internationally for about 6 years with all the brands as well as in the US, and certainly enjoyed it, but learned a lot about franchising, worked on operational standards, actually ran some restaurants for a while, learning and development. And I always knew that when I grew up or retired from this great company, I wanted to be a professor. So here I am at the University of Louisville teaching franchise management. So I've been doing this. I'm on year number 6, working and helping educate the future franchise leaders. And it sure has been a lot of fun. And of course, we met because at the center, you've served on my board. So that's correct. Yes.
That is correct. And it's been an exciting journey, and we became friends from this. So I'm really first excited about the friendship, second about the work you do and the people that you help with this. But it's actually more than this. Tell us a little bit about what you've done while you've been, director of the center and the instructor as well, because you built the program. Can you speak a little bit about the program you built?
Sure. So I actually co-created a graduate level franchise management certificate in the beginning. We had a very innovative dean who looked at the MBA program and said, you know, we could have some stackable credentials that were germane to Louisville, Kentucky. And Yum Brands was in Louisville, as well as a couple of other franchise organizations. And he said, why not a franchise management certificate? No one's doing that. So I started at that level. So co-created that with a friend of mine, Dr. Denise Cumberland, and we rolled that out. That's what we had when I first started. When I came over, though, I quickly realized not everyone who needs this education already has a college education. So they are not a candidate for a graduate school. So worked and made it into a professional certificate, and have worked with the International Franchise Association, where now it's the required It's a requirement prior to getting their credential, the certified franchise executive. So then that wasn't enough. And we realized undergraduates need it, because my whole goal in life is to teach everyone how awesome this franchise model is and what you can do with it. So we went through the process, and we now have an undergraduate certificate that the classes are always full. The students are just amazed that franchising is more than restaurants. It's restaurants, of course, which is my love, but it's also more than that. So we've done a lot of that. Now, with the center, we've done a couple of things. One is we have a vibrant board. The board of advisors provides insights, their subject matter expertise, and they also provide a philanthropic contribution that goes 100% to scholarships. So we're able to help students, which is really exciting to me. We've done a couple of different things. We had launched a couple of accelerators with Yum Brands, working with Howard University. We've had book clubs. We've had speakers come in. We're always trying to do something different to demonstrate the power of franchising.
That's awesome. But let me ask you a question. So the graduates that, you know, finish with the program, where do they end up? What is the career path for them? Is it in the franchisee, being franchisee or franchisor, entrepreneur, or working for a corporation or building their own brand? How does it look like?
Gosh, that's the best part, Ramsey, is that it can be whatever they want it to be. So first of all, you know, franchising is a form of entrepreneurship. Scholars finally agree that franchising is entrepreneurship. As Matt Haller, the CEO of the IFA, likes to say, it's being in business for yourself, but not by yourself. So I tell my students there are three avenues. One is you can become a franchisee. Now, we know that takes a lot of capital in most cases. Not all cases, but many of the franchises do require a lot of capital. So people wouldn't go straight from college into that. But you could work for a franchisee. You know, what's happening in the franchise world is these large consolidations, and there are large companies that are hiring highly qualified people, and knowing about the franchise model puts you a step ahead. So those are the first two. You could work for a franchisor, such as I did. As I said, the career dreams are made of, right? So there are tons of large franchisors looking for people. Or you can work for a partner in the industry. My goodness, you're a partner in the industry. So you think about anyone who's in real estate, finance, accounting, the legal, marketing, you name it, products, right? Pepsi, all of these companies need awesome employees. And if you know the franchise model, you're a step ahead. So really, it's a launch pad to let you go just about anywhere.
I agree with you 100%. For me, for example, being in the franchising business for prior 10 years of my life gives me an edge when I have a, you know, seller and they're selling a franchise business, to understand the FDD and help them with that and help the buyer understand what the FDD is all about, you know, versus others that really don't understand the franchising model at all, which is very interesting. So let me switch with you one thing, because I always in my new business, I always meet these, investors, entrepreneurs say, I don't want to be in a franchising. I don't want a brand that's franchising, right? And I kind of say, you know, I got to take them through the spiel, and I wish you're with me all the time, Kathy, because I don't think I give it the due diligence you do when you explain it. But why would they want to be in franchising, or at least listen to why franchising is an avenue that they should be in versus non-franchise brands or non-franchise at all?
Mm-hmm. That is a great question. And, you know, I think there are some misconceptions around that, as you've said, because what folks see is the royalty payment, right? I have to share my profits ongoing. And that is true. There is a royalty payment. So to be with a franchise, you do have to pay a percent of your top line sales. However, let me tell you all that you get for that. First of all, you definitely get the trademark. You get a recognized, reputable brand. And let's face it, not everyone has the idea of the moment that's going to take off. So you're going to be able to leverage someone else's great idea and it's been proven in the marketplace. You're going to get a business model that has been proven that this is how it can work. This is how you can be profitable. And most of the successful franchisees I've talked to, when I ask them what makes you successful, they actually say, I just follow the model. I follow the model that's given, but I add my personality in. So my culture, how I treat people, all of that they can still add in. But the other thing that franchising provides is the ongoing developments in technology, in new product development, new process development. You know, America's consumer, actually any consumer, is fickle. And it's always like, what's new? What's the new product? What's the new thing you're doing? And now with the advent of AI, oh my goodness. If you are an entrepreneur and having to figure that out on your own, I bet you spend a ton more money than you would on that royalty payment, and you wouldn't have the experts figuring it out. So you have this group of experts helping you along the way. And if you'd let me give an example about COVID. So franchising did really well during COVID, during the pandemic. And the reason is because those resources were all focused on how can we help our franchisees. Example, it was the government came through with PPE loans. They were terrific, but they were hard to understand. Franchisors helped the franchisees navigate that paperwork and get those funds. They also provided signage. Folks didn't know, what do I do for signs? What do I need to do? How do I get protective gear? The franchisors solved that supply issue. They helped them get those items that they needed. They helped them get the signage. Shoot, we even had supply issues, right? You have the power of a big franchise brand. They're going to help you. So I think the pandemic really brought to the forefront the power of franchising and having someone help you along the way while you're still the entrepreneur, but you're allowed to have support and help and your fellow franchisees help as well. So I think that that's what I would tell them. That was a long answer.
No. I think I can really relate to that because I could tell you for a fact, I was running a company out of California and you and I talked about the brand prior. Right before the pandemic, I took over the role of running the company and I didn't know anything about the PPE and all that stuff. But we really ended up working 24/7, making sure every franchisee stayed open first to make sure they stay open. Then to make sure they get the funds they need to help them with all the paperwork and also get them all the signage to get everything they need. And in about 6 weeks, put them online so they can actually serve customers online, which is something that they couldn't have done. Anybody could have done by themselves. And that was probably a big, big win. And that's why you have a brand behind you. One thing, Kathy, I talk about all the time when I'm talking to entrepreneurs, I meet them and I spend my time just solving more issues than really talking about selling or buying businesses, right? One of the biggest things I talk about is how so much time is spent working in the business versus on the business. And I'm sure there are a bunch of books written on it, and a bunch of people talk about that. But I think franchising helps with that. How, in your point of view, and I think you kind of talked about that a little bit, but why are these, if you can just put somebody in front and say, here's why franchising, here's where you're working on the business with the franchising, not in the business with franchising. Because it takes really a village, like they say.
It does take a village. And I love that you said that. And actually, I just had someone on my podcast the other day talking about this same thing, talking about how now they're trying to work on the business versus in. When we say in the business, it means the day-to-day, how do we get product to customers? How are we making that exact profit margin we need to make? Always focusing on the minute details, if you will. And you still have to have a good team in your units, whatever you're running, to do that. But working on the business allows you to strategize on what's your growth for the future. Or if you're at a place in your life, what's my succession planning, right? It depends. So you're allowed to think bigger because the franchisor is taking care of all those little issues about what do customers want now? How do I make digital ordering work? Even curbside delivery, how do we do that? What are the different things that consumers want? How are we going to market this? Digital marketing has changed the world, right? So they take care of all that. So you can focus about your own growth strategy, where you want to take your business. And what I like to talk about the most is your culture. What does the culture in your franchise look like? Because people work for people, not companies. And making sure you have that rich culture that makes a difference is what's going to make your business successful.
That's awesome. Fantastic. So we talked about all the beautiful things about franchising, and I agree with you on all of them. What are some of the negatives? What are some of the cons about, franchising?
I think besides the fees, because there are people who think the fees could be a little overwhelming. Again, I would argue it would cost you way more to do all that on your own. But I think one of the cons is even though you are an entrepreneur and you can run your business, you can hire the people you want. You can build the culture you want. You do have to follow the business plan. And actually, Ramsey, there are people who struggle with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there are people who cannot follow a plan and want to do things their own way. So franchising would not be the answer for them. But if you can follow a plan, but put your own 2 cents on it, if you want to have tighter standards, if you want to do your own incentive programs, who you hire, how you staff, et cetera, you'd be great in franchising. But if you want to know how to make every single product. For example, if you're in a restaurant and you want to put your grandmother's recipes out, franchising's not for you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there should be a test because I've worked with a lot of franchisees that, sign up and all this stuff, and then they want to kind of change the recipe. And that really does not work. It doesn't work that way. You signed up for our recipe, not your recipe. But they're built that way. So there should be standardized tests for every company to kind of say, oh yeah, you probably will be a good fit for us or not a good fit because you're inventory. Go invent something. Don't buy into franchise, right? Yeah. But I believe there's other stuff. Anything comes up in your mind that could be negative about franchising?
I just think it is a contract, right? And so you signed up for 20 years. And then I have seen where you sign up because you believe in the senior team, and then the senior team leaves and a new senior team comes in. And you still have to stay in that contract, even though you may not get along with that team. I think that's tough. I've seen that happen a couple of times where somebody buys in because they think this leader is so fantastic and they'd follow him anywhere, and then they go somewhere else. And that's tough because the franchisee is still there. So I think that would probably be another con.
Yeah, I think that goes on the franchisee and the franchisor. I 100% agree with you. I think the, which takes me to the next subject, is the due diligence piece, which is, I mean, I used to say, you know what, the honeymoon period is when you, when the franchisor is telling you all about how wonderful the brand is and kind of wanting you, dining you, discovery day and kind of getting all this stuff done. And then comes the engagement time. And then the marriage is when you sign that agreement. It's 20 years, 10 years, whatever it is. And you signed up for that.
That's
and
breaking right.
up is expensive. So talk a little bit about due diligence. What are the steps that if I am going to sign up now, regardless, I'm opening a new franchise, like buying a new franchise or buying a business that is franchised already, it's still the same process of you're going to have to sign either to a new agreement of 5, 10, whatever years, or you're going to, you know, assume the remainder period of a franchise agreement, right? What are these things that they have to look to or check in their system to make sure that they get it right? And who do they go for help? Because most people by themselves would not get it right.
You're exactly right. And there are a couple things you can do. First of all, the Federal Trade Commission requires a franchisor to provide the franchise disclosure document at least 14 days prior to someone signing. But I would suggest you get it way earlier than that so that you can read all of those articles. You know, there are 23 articles in that FDD, and not understanding it can be a huge issue if you don't read exactly what the franchisor's responsibility is and what your responsibility is. So I recommend when you're serious that you get a professional. And the professional could be obviously an attorney, but there are groups that work on selling or bringing franchisees to franchisors, and some of them are very reputable. I'd be careful, but there are some very reputable ones who do an outstanding job to help you make that match. Also, the franchise agreement could have different things in it, so really looking at that. But I'll tell you what I think is one of the best ways to do due diligence, besides visiting as a customer and reading all you can, is in the FDD in item 20, you get a list of all the current franchisees and their phone numbers. And you can call anyone you want, and they will tell you. You know, franchisees are going to tell the truth, and franchisees help each other as well, which is fantastic. But if I were going to buy a franchise, I would talk to no less than 10 franchisees. And people will probably cringe that I said that out loud, but this is your life investment. And so doing that is so important. We live in a great world of Google and AI and, you know, asking anything you want, but there's nothing better than talking to someone who has their life savings in that same brand to ask that question, would you do it again? If you were me, should I jump in? And why or why not?
I 100% agree with you. I've been so lucky that I've told you before, I sat on both sides of the aisle, right? And you and I have had this conversation before. I've been a franchisor for big brands, and I've been also a franchisee, and I'm still a franchisee today under this brand, right? And anytime I do due diligence, I call as many people as possible. I visit as many. I travel, visit, because this is a relationship. You know what? It's a business relationship. We're not family. We're not partners. This is a business relationship. I got to make sure I know what I'm getting myself into. And not lucky, but because of the due diligence that we've done, we've been very successful. What we've done, understanding what we're getting ourselves into, what we're going to get out of it, and what's the expectations out of us, right? So I do agree with you. The due diligence period, you know, I know there's 14-day, you know, cool period where, you know, you cannot sign. Take months, take too much time you need. Take the time to do your due diligence so you don't get stuck with something for 10 years. Once you sign, that's a 10, 15, 20 year responsibility. And I've seen people within the first 9 months, they just want to get out, ready to get out. They're ready to sell their business, whatever it takes, sell the business. And others, they wait till the end. And I, you know, I deal with right now, I have listings for businesses, franchise businesses. 20 years. They've been in the business. Now they want to retire. They made their money. They weren't great for them. But that's a franchise franchise that's really good, that really helped them kind of build their wealth. Now they're ready to move it to somebody else. So incredible advice with the due diligence. Anything else? How about through IFA or other institutes that really can help them with understanding that?
So I think there are a couple of things too. The one thing I would also do is there are a list of the best franchisors out there. I would look at the list from like Entrepreneur publishes in the first quarter of the year. I would want to make sure my franchise is on that list. I mean, seriously, the IFA is a wonderful organization that supports and protects the franchise model. They have a great website. You can read all of their articles. They're very careful in that they don't have a seal of approval, if you will. But I would want to be with a brand that's a member of the IFA. That would be important to me because that shows that they really care about the franchise system. You know, something else that's interesting is that, remember, you are buying that brand reputation. So you may think, well, I'm going to have a great unit in my city because I'm a great operator and I'm going to do such a good job. I would find out about the reputation of the brand through Yelp or anything online, because if it's a brand that is not doing well, I would just tread carefully, because one franchisee in a large brand cannot, you know, you say everyone can make a difference and you can, but I would just be careful about jumping into that. So I would look at those lists. I would look at what the customers are saying. Look at the senior leadership, you know, item two in the FDD tells you all about the senior leaders, the amount of experience they have. That's very, very helpful. But there's a lot of ways to do that due diligence, but it takes time. But my gosh, Ramsey, if you're putting all this money of your own in, it seems like you would take the time.
That is exactly right. Also, so what's the advice for people? You know, they say, because, you know, I'm going to pay royalty, I understand the royalty piece, and then I have to pay to the ad fund. I don't understand this. Is it really going to make an impact to my business? What's your advice to them? Because, you know, that's not where it all stops, right? You cannot stop as entrepreneur running your business. This is not where it all stops. But what is the advice on what is the ad fund and how does it work and what else do they need to do?
You know, it's interesting. I'm teaching a group of leaders who are, they're already above restaurant leaders and they're going to become senior leaders. And I had them unpack all the fees in an FDD and we had a roundtable discussion about it. And they work for franchisees now. And they're like, these costs are just ridiculous. Can you believe they're charging this, this, and this? And I just let them talk. They talked about technology fees. They talked about advertising fees. Sometimes there are training fees. So they talked about all these fees, right? So I let them talk. And then this one guy goes, wait a minute. What if we had to do that ourselves? We never could. So they brought it back around. But, you know, the ad fund, especially if you're a national brand, national advertising, if you have a fund where you put all your money together, it has been proven to almost always be more effective than anything regional. Mm-hmm. So having that national ad fund is so important. And many great organizations will provide the accounting of it. Here's where it all goes. Here's what we've done. They're very diligent about letting you know this is exactly how we spent it. And this is the return that we're getting. So you can ask those questions. Now, technology fees are interesting because old established legacy brands didn't have that. Well, now technology has come into play. So when they want to introduce a technology fee, it's not popular because they didn't have it before. So it's important that you show the value that you're providing there. And franchisees are smart business people. They'll get it. They'll understand, okay, you provided a whole new digital ordering platform for us that increased our business by 20%. So that's how. Yeah. So it's important the franchisors show that. But franchisees need to understand, We're getting value for those fees.
Yeah, there's one more in the past 5 years kind of popped up. Actually, COVID kind of made it pop up more. Third-party fees, right? So the delivery fees, third-party delivery fees. If you're sit alone in a restaurant and whatever restaurant you have by your name, you're paying 25-30%, right? And national brands right now are paying way less than that. So you take advantage of that. That by itself is a huge saving now, knowing that most restaurants are 20-30% delivery, businesses. So that's incredible savings when you think about it, Kat.
And leveraging that, you know, leveraging the brand.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, supply, I didn't even mention, obviously, your raw supplies are because of the size that you have. And, you know, it's interesting, like you talk about digital ordering, it has been proven people order more if they do it themselves. So either through a kiosk or through their phone, they order more. And I find that so interesting that they would just order so much more than if they stood in front of a menu. So that there's a
people buy more from Amazon versus going, for example, to Target because they don't see the credit card. They just kind of order. Oh, I don't know where it goes.
Somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so question for you. A lot of people, I think if you ask 10 people would say, you know, franchising is restaurants, right? So tell me about what franchising is now. Where is it going? Because now it's everywhere, right? I mean, a lot of brands and a lot of different concepts, business concepts become franchisable. And where should I be kind of looking at now? And where should I be careful? And, you know, let's kind of talk clearly because there's a lot of franchisable brands right now.
You know, totally. And you think about hotels and restaurants are what you typically think. Most hotels are franchised. Sure. Most restaurants are. So those are large segments. However, the segments that are really growing are things like personal services. So you think about all those boutique exercise places. All of those are franchised. So that's growing. You think about even cosmetics, massage salons, all of those kind of things. That's really growing. But the other area that's been growing are home services, everything in your house. And these brands, what's evolved is they've had these large platform companies that have 16 to 20 brands under them, say home services. And say they have an electrician and they have light, they have windows and yards and floors and, you know, name it, everything in your house. You can be a franchisee of multiple brands in the same region underneath that umbrella. That's big time. Even my favorite one is picking up dog waste. That is huge. And as a franchisor of one of those companies told me, nobody ever gives that up. You pay that $25, $35 a week. Once you start, you don't want to stop. So that's really, really grown. And I think that folks don't understand just that almost everything is franchised. Now, the newest component of franchising that is fascinating to me is things like physical therapy, chiropractic service, dental offices. So now the medical field is also starting on the franchise path. So I have my eye out on that. That's pretty interesting.
That's amazing. You're right. I think I've seen everything French. And a lot of customers I receive, either, you know, buyers, mainly buyers, are looking for, you know, products that's not franchised and all this stuff. But when I talk to them, they're really not prepared to kind of take over a business. Mm-hmm. And they probably need the guidance that a franchise business would give them with the systems. And they don't understand the cost of starting a business, just even service business, right? You need CRM, you need, you know, website, you need technology, you need, you know, a payment method, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But above that, number one thing you need, a lot of people don't know how to, networking. How do I network? How do I get my business? Where do I spend my, you know, marketing dollar? How do I spend my marketing dollar? Local marketing by itself, which is, I'm sure you and I can talk about local marketing for another three episodes, right? But local marketing, how do I get to do it? And you need a system for that. So franchising can give them that as well.
You do. But I do think, going back to those home services brands that have tons of different brands, what a way to grow. I mean, if I want to stay in Louisville, Kentucky, I could have 16 to 20 brands under one umbrella. And think about this, the same technology back of house, everything's the same. So that platform, I don't have to rethink. How simple is that?
It's interesting. So short story, I'm working with a person right now who has a service company, looking for a different service company and leveraging the services that person already offers. Now, she said, well, I can actually offer that same service to this this group. Completely different segment, right? One is the commercial, one residential, but she said, I could do both now to the same group. So very, very smart way of doing business. So you start with one, build it, build your customer base, add another one, give them extra services, let the, you know, build trust with the customer. This is fantastic. And I love that model.
You know, I even talked to a Christmas lighting franchise that they do landscaping during the summer and Christmas lights in the Christmas season. And they figured that out so that they would make sure they could keep their workforce. And I was like, that's brilliant. Well, the franchise did that for their franchisees.
How genius.
It is, isn't it?
Kathy, so this is fantastic. And you and I have talked about, I think we've had a few subjects you and I talked about, and we have a new program together we're going to do at the end of March, I believe, which I'm very excited about. And this is what happens after long term, what do you do with your business? And I can't wait to talk more about you, with you about this. But so tell me, what's new? You know, what else is going on in your life? And, you know, the last thoughts, how do people reach, you know, like the University of Louisville program? If somebody is interested in learning more about it, what do they do?
Oh, thank you for asking that. You know, actually, what's most important to me is just educating people on this vibrant model that can make folks wealthier than their wildest imagination. And our center is all about empowering communities to build and sustain generational wealth through franchising. So you can reach us at www.louisville.edu/business, or just look up the Yum Center for Global Franchise Excellence and you'll find us. I'm on LinkedIn. I always invite anyone to LinkedIn under Kathleen Gosser. Happy to meet anyone that way. And I'll be the IFA, and I'm hoping you'll be there as well.
I hope so. Right now, February is very difficult. It's February, right? Yeah.
February, yes, in Vegas.
Yeah, very good. Wonderful. Well, Kathleen, thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. By the way, this is my first show on Sand Spring Business Radio. I'm very excited that you are my first person to interview, because I can't have anybody else that I would wish to interview. Thank you again, Kathy.
Thank you, Ramsey.